Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. Happy Friday. Weekend is here. Good for you. You made it. Well, we're talking about the nature of mankind in this program, and we're discussing what is the soul. Yesterday, we showed you that there is a distinction between soul and spirit. And I want to relate a story to you back when I was a pastor. When I first started coming to see the truths of the salvation of all and the nature of man, and I started seeing the actual nonsense of the common teaching of Orthodox hell was, and I started teaching this stuff. Obviously, it wasn't welcome too well by those who were enslaved to Orthodoxy, but on a midweek Bible study, we were all sitting in the basement of the church, and I used to have a whiteboard, and I used to draw and write when I would talk, and that was just one of the things I liked to do. Well, in that midweek Bible study, everyone was sitting down. There were about maybe 12 people in that Bible study. And what we did was that night I decided to start teaching on what is the soul. And the way I started off the Bible study was this. I asked everyone in the room, and I had this big whiteboard. I said, Tonight we're to start a series on what is the soul. And before we get started and before we look into scripture, I want everyone in this room to give me a definition of what a soul is. And I will write it on this board. And then what we will do is we will go through the first 11 chapters of Genesis and see if our definitions match what the Word of God says. Everyone thought that was a great idea. So I went around the room and I wrote down, I think it was 10 or 12 definitions. And one of the definitions was, and it was said kind of piously, it's the part that distinguishes us from the animals. Another part, a person said, it is that which is the place where we have the highest spiritual communication with God. And another person said, it's the part that survives death, etc. And all these items were listed. These are all the definitions. Nobody had an equal definition to show you how confusing this term is to people because of confusing terminology and false expressions. So I wrote everyone's definitions down, and then I went through the first 11 chapters of Genesis and all the references to soul, and guess what? Every definition that we had to be crossed off because it was wrong when we compared it with Scripture. And the problem was, I thought they would delight in this. It was a group of people that called themselves Bereans because they prided themselves in searching the Scriptures. But when we compared the Scriptures to our own definitions, and we found our definitions were wrong, instead of bowing to the Word of God and acknowledging the truth of Scripture, they started getting mad. People were fuming in this meeting, thinking that I was destroying their orthodoxy. But I said, look, I haven't taught anything in this meeting. We've acknowledged, we went through verse by verse, and we looked at the Word of God, and it disagreed with their definitions. They got mad at the Word of God. That's how people are. Most people search the Scriptures not to get to know God better, but to bolster up their orthodox theology. That is a huge problem, and people will get angry when you go against their orthodoxy. Well, one of the first comments that was made, it was the very first definition, was that the definition of a soul is that which distinguishes us from the animals. And then I took them to Genesis 1:20, the very first occurrence of the word soul, verse 20 of Genesis 1. And Elohim said, let the waters swarm with the swarming thing, the living soul, and let the fly above the earth on the face of the atmosphere of the heavens. Now notice that the first definition we had is that soul is the thing that distinguishes us from animals. Well, that was wrong, because the first use of the word soul in the Scriptures is to describe those animals that swarm in the waters and those that fly in the air. And so you, me, and that pigeon are both souls. You, me, and that salmon are both souls. And of course, this got them mad. They came to all kinds of wrong conclusions from that. But our conclusions were wrong. Their conclusions were wrong because we thought our definitions were truth rather than the Word of God. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, on day 3, Elohim makes the plants, and on day 5 and 6, he makes souls. Plants are living organisms. It's true. Plants are alive. They're living organisms. However, they don't swarm. That is what distinguishes a soul. Look at it again in Genesis 1:20. And Elohim said, let the waters swarm with the swarming thing, the living soul. Plants don't swarm, but souls are in motion. Plants stay put. They don't move very much. You have to put them in a pot and water them. In Genesis 1:21, it says, Elohim created the great sea monsters and every moving living soul with which the waters swarm according to their kind. So notice there, every moving living soul. Animals and man move, are both called souls. Plants are never called souls. Plants are nourished from the soil and the air, just like us living souls, but they have no sensations. Plants aren't conscious of their own existence. Souls move from place to place. I'll give you an example. Right now, I am in Michigan. I got in the car on Wednesday, and I drove to Michigan. I moved from place to place. I know I exist. I'm aware of my surroundings. As a matter of fact, my dog knows it exists. It's aware of its surroundings too, but the plants don't. They don't have that awareness. Plants aren't alert to their, and they're not conscious to their existence. Now look at Genesis 2:7 again. Again, a verse we should all memorize. Yahweh Elohim formed the human out of soil from the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living soul. Just like your dog, you move around. I have a dog in this house. Her name is Dixie. I'll post a picture when we're done here. That dog, Dixie, and my daughter, Ava, and my nephew, Justin, who are living with me in this home, me, Justin, Dixie, and Ava, we're all souls. But that plant over there on the counter is not a soul. We souls sense the world around us. That includes Dixie. And by the way, Dixie really senses what's going on around her when she sticks her snout in that garbage can and I yell at her, or when she chews my very expensive set of headphones that I had for a number of years that she destroyed recently. She's pretty aware of the surroundings when I yell at her, that's for sure. We know we exist. We aren't plants. So we are similar to the animals. We're not distinct from them. Soul doesn't distinguish us from the animals. We are different because we're made in the image of God, us people, but Dixie, our dog, is just as much a soul as my daughter Ava. But the difference is Ava is one in whom God made in his image. And that's true of me and you and all of us listening. Your dogs aren't made in the image of God, but we are souls. And just to conclude, I want to turn to a passage in Acts 17 where Paul gives this basic truth of what humanity is to heathen. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is standing and speaking at the Areopagus, talking to those who worshiped an unknown God or an unknowable God, and he says this. Paul says this in Acts 17, verse 28. For in him, he says to these heathen, in him we are living, that's reference to the spirit, and moving, that's reference to the soul, Genesis 1 here, and are, that's reference to our body, spirit, soul, body. In him we are living, that has to do with the spirit, that's the source of life, and we're moving, that's the soul, souls move, and we are, that's the body, that's the distinctive part that identifies us. Well, that's all we have time for today. We're giving more information. We're going to get back into this topic again starting on Tuesday. On Monday, I'm going to have a special recording. It's one I did. It's more of an evangelistic tool that you can pass around. You know, I have a couple audios on my website that are evangelistic in nature. The Salvation of All, it's called. The other one's called What is the Gospel? And on Monday, I'll be posting an audio called What is the Conciliation? That's a message that's been lost in our day. And that'll be posted on Monday. That'll be Monday's show. And then back on Tuesday, we'll get back into this great topic of what is the soul. We're going to continue in this. And then when we're done talking about the soul, we're going to get into death. What is death? And then after that, we're going to talk about the relationship between the Father and the Son. So the next couple of weeks are set in stone. We got a lot of good stuff, of course, unless the Lord snatches us out of here ahead of time. But let's get as much truth as possible before that. Let's get to know God now. He is the knowable God. And boy, God, knowing God is life and peace. It's a wonderful thing. This is Dan Sheridan. Have a great weekend. And remember this, the closer you draw near to God, the less religious and ceremonial you will be. And that's being proved true right here in Michigan, where I'm hanging out with the saints and talking about the grace of God. These people have joy, peace, and freedom. Pray for me on this trip. I will be back on Monday from Michigan, and looking forward to getting back into this topic again on Tuesday. Again, this is Dan Sheridan signing off. Have a great weekend.